Hello, and welcome to our third NABBW teleseminar for August. In a moment, I will introduce our guest, Marianne Hahn, who will be sharing information with us on how to hire and work with a ghostwriter, as well as offer some tips on how to become a ghostwriter. But first, let me introduce myself and set the stage. I am Ann Holmes, the Boomer-in-Chief, as I like to call myself, of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which you can find online at www.nabbw.com. And we also have a forum at www.boomerwomenspeak.com. Our websites are the number one sites found via the major search engines when you search on the keywords baby boomer women. If you're not a member of the NABBW, you're welcome to join us. You'll find a handy link on the front page of the NABBW site, which you can use to join. This call is an example of one of the many benefits we provide our members. We have recordings of approximately 70 past teleseminars, which are yours with membership in NABBW. You won't find them on the site unless you're a member, however, as there's a lot of information that's available to the public, but we keep the recorded teleseminars in our members-only area. As I said, this is the third of three teleseminars we're hosting this month, so just a quick word on upcoming events. We have another three teleseminars coming up in September. The dates are September 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern. We will be talking with Barbara Hollis on Pursuing Your Passions. A week later, on September 23rd at 8 p.m. Eastern, so an hour later, we'll be talking with actress Tina Sloan, who many of you might remember as Nurse Lillian Raines on Guiding Light. Tina has recently written a book called Changing Shoes, which will be debuting next month, and so we'll be talking to her about the book and what caused her to write the book and finding out what the book's about and giving away copies of it as well. On September 30th, again back to the 7 p.m. Eastern time, we'll be talking with children's author Tina Turbin on one of her passions, which is increasing awareness of celiac disease in baby boomers. Tina has celiac disease and has created a website, Gluten Free Help, that's G-L-U-T-E-N, glutenfreehelp.info, to help other baby boomers learn how to live with the disease, and she'll be sharing tons of helpful information with us on that call. I do hope that you'll think all of these calls, which are free like this one is, are exciting and interesting topically for you and that you'll sign up for some of them as well. Now, as for the format of the call today, get yourself comfortable and make sure that in addition to having something to drink so you can deal with the heat that we're still having here as we end the summer, you have paper and pencil to take notes because the topics that we're going to be talking about today with Marianne are fascinating, and I know you'll want to take notes. I've muted the call for now, but we'll take questions toward the end of the call. So if you can hold your questions until then, we'll try to get through as much content as possible, and I think that way you'll learn as much as possible and still have time toward the end for you to ask Marianne your own individual questions. In a moment, I'll give you some background on Marianne, and then she and I will spend about 30 minutes discussing the concept of hiring and working with a ghostwriter, and even a bit on how to become one. So without further delay, let me introduce Marianne Hahn, and we'll get started. Marianne Hahn is a freelance writer with a passion for helping other freelance writers succeed. Way back in August of 2000, she launched a free online e-zine called Write Success and eventually built a companion website. Here she archives past e-zine issues and lists links to other sites and online resources for writers. Marianne says that in its heyday, Write Success went out to over 5,000 aspiring and working writers worldwide. That's a lot of writers. And with it, she helped build a lot of friendships with fellow authors as well, providing a lot of useful information. I've looked at that site. There's tons of information on it for freelance authors and writers. Then in 2008, Marianne realized that resources for both established and aspiring ghostwriters were scattered and really very limited. Since she was a longtime ghostwriter, she decided that there should be one centralized place where ghostwriters can find information, resources, support, and a place that offered opportunities to connect with potential clients. So she created the International Association of Professional Ghostwriters, IAPGW. Now, IAPGW is the first ghostwriters association created to meet the unique challenges, goals, and needs of both active and aspiring ghostwriters. Through its programs, benefits, communications, and services, Marianne is dedicated to uniting, supporting, advocating for, and educating professional and aspiring ghostwriters worldwide. Beyond that, the IAPGW strives to provide community, encouragement, and world-class products and services to all members, regardless of their specialty or level of expertise. The goal is to enable ghostwriters to establish and or grow thriving, prosperous, and fulfilling ghostwriting careers. These days, Marianne continues to post market information, contest announcements, and writing job opportunities on Twitter and her Write Success blog in order to help writers develop successful writing careers. And as far as her education and background, Marianne obtained her bachelor's degree in communication arts from a very fine university, Cornell University. Since that time, she has held various positions in customer service, management, training, documentation, and communications, as well as doing freelance work. Marianne lives in Syracuse, New York, with her significant other, John, their cat, Bates, and their turtle, Gilligan. Welcome to the call, everyone. And now, Marianne, before I launch into my questions, why don't I give you a brief opportunity to say something about what motivated you to start the IAPGW?
Oh, absolutely. What it was I really wanted to really concentrate more on that part of my writing career. I had been doing articles under my own byline, but I really, really always enjoyed writing for others. I used to, in the company that I worked for, I used to always ghostwrite for a number of the executives. I would write articles for them. And I learned a lot from writing for other people. So when I started to do a little noodling around, searching around, I found some books on the topic and an occasional website. And then I thought, I wonder if there's an association, you know, for ghostwriters. So I Googled that, and at the time, and this was 2008, there was not one. And I thought, oh, my God. You know, I mean, I thought it just seemed like there really should be because ghostwriters have needs that are different than other kinds of writers. And there were associations for everything from mystery writers to science writers. There was one for every other specialty but ghostwriters. So I talked at the time, I belonged to the National Association of Women Writers, and that was run by Cherie McConnell, and she was doing a program on how to start associations. So I talked to her about my idea, and she said it was a great niche to concentrate on, that she often received questions about how to become a ghostwriter or how to get in contact with a ghostwriter and that sort of thing. And so I took coaching under Cherie in 2008 and in 2009, and I launched on January 1st, 2010.
Excellent. Okay, so now I've got the whole history of that.
You sure do.
Well, I like to know all that background. I'm a curious person, and someone told me once that that's a hallmark of a good writer, but we can discuss that another time. But now I know we have a lot to cover in our time here today, so why don't I begin with our first question, and that would be, can you talk about what is a ghostwriter and how does one get compensated for being a ghostwriter?
Sure, Ann. I define a ghostwriter as a person who puts another person's expertise, their beliefs, or their life experiences in writing. In other words, we write for those who can't write well, or they don't like to write, or maybe they just don't have time to put their stories in writing. Mm-hmm. Mostly we do this, of course, for the income and because we love to write, but also for the satisfaction of helping others get their words out there to whatever public they want to reach.
Mm-hmm.
For compensation, it can depend on a lot of things. It depends on the experience level of the ghostwriter, the length and complexity of the project, and the client's willingness and ability to pay. Most ghostwriters charge either by the word or flat fee, although some will negotiate a percentage of royalties or in advance, or on advance of a book if we're sure the book is going to sell. And just as an aside on that, like, I'm going to be helping a family this winter, and I'm not charging them up front, and this is unusual for me, but I'm passionate about the topic, and I know the family, and I want to help them get their message out. So in this case, I am doing it under contract that I would get reimbursed a percentage of any royalties or advance that they receive on the book should they get it published. So there's lots of ways to go about this.
All right. So once you get yourself established, then you can pretty much work with the situation in hand and what you think would work out best between you and the person that you're writing on their behalf.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, if you check, I mean, if you Google ghostwriters and you check a lot of their sites, you'll see some of them are very, they'll put their service pricing right out there, and some will just ask you to just give them a brief overview of what it is you're looking to do so that they can quote you something.
Okay. Now, is a ghost always invisible, or are there instances when a ghostwriter could get credit for writing the book with an author?
There, and you probably have seen this, especially in magazines. You see those articles, you know, how I survived Hurricane Katrina as told to. You know, the as told to person is the ghostwriter, and it's in those instances they are getting a byline of sorts for doing the writing for someone else. You'll see it sometimes on books too. But for the most part, I refer to the term famous ghostwriter as an oxymoron. Most of us do not have well-known names out there because our names just don't show up on the label or on the cover.
Okay. Well, then, I guess that leads me to a question as to how does a person who wants to hire a ghostwriter, how can they find a ghostwriter, seeing as they can't go look at books and say, oh, this one was ghostwritten by Mary Ann, and I know I like how she works, so I'll figure out how to contact her and talk to her. If you're invisible, if you're a ghost, you know, how do people find you?
It does make it challenging, and that was really, really one of the main purposes for my founding the association, was to have some place where ghostwriters could list themselves and connect back to maybe their websites or whatever. But there are, again, several ways to go about that. You can, if you are in a certain profession and you read a book by a certain professional, you could maybe contact the stated author and see if they work with a ghostwriter. They may tell you. You know, you may get a referral from another one in your field or who has done the book for them. As long as you've signed the non-disclosure saying you're not going to tell anybody that that they wrote the book or they didn't write the book. You can look, I mean, you can, like I said, Google, and you'll come up with lots of them. Of course, that's very time-consuming. Or you can list your need for a writer yourself, and there's several, or many ways, actually, to do that. You could do that on Craigslist and just put out there what type of writer you're looking for and what you're looking to, the topic that you're looking to write about. There are sites that ghostwriters work with, such as Elance.com or Guru.com or Odesk.com. You'll find ghostwriters will stalk there looking for, looking for assignments. And then I also, at the association at IAPGW.org, have a post-a-job page that people can use for free if they're seeking a ghostwriter.
Okay. Now, I spent a lot of years working as a copywriter for an advertising agency, and I kind of often felt that the work that I did there fit sometimes into the concept of ghosting because, well, most people probably think that at advertising agencies you're only going to be writing copy for commercials, but there are actually times when we put together books for our clients or help them craft a speech or something like that, which I assume that ghostwriters do speeches as well as books, because I think I've heard of speech writing as sometimes involving a ghosting kind of a concept. So would you have ever considered developing a relationship with an advertising agency as a way to develop clientele as a ghostwriter?
That's an interesting question. I think one of the things that attracts me to ghostwriting is the variety. I have been tapped my very first quote-unquote ghostwriting assignment actually was writing the speech for my valedictorian best friend in high school. You know, so it was the first thing I ever wrote that, you know, came out of someone else's, you know, mouth, but they were my words, you know. So that's very interesting that you use speech writing as an example. But some of the things that I've done since I've gone more after ghostwriting, I've done everything from blog posts to articles to revising ebooks. So I think, yes, there's crossover. I think most ghostwriters, if they don't have experience, we will tell you, we'll try to refer you to someone who does. Like, I was approached recently for grant writing, and I just don't have the experience, and I didn't want to pretend that I did. So I referred the person elsewhere. And I think good, credible ghostwriters will do that. But a lot of them, too, also have a wide variety of experience. So, yes, by all means, they would attempt everything from an advertisement, you know, one of those advertorials where you write the whole story as an advertisement,
right,
to a speech. You know, to a jacket, a book jacket, or a publicity kit. You know, so I think we would handle run the gamut.
Excellent. Now, you said that your first job as a ghostwriter was writing that speech for a valedictorian, so that sounds like fairly early on in your career. And I was actually going to ask you how or when did you become a ghostwriter. So I guess you would put it way back to then, but at that time you probably didn't see yourself as a ghostwriter. That was probably just something someone asked you to do that you took on without saying, I'm going to be a ghostwriter?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, and as I went into college, because you mentioned I went to Cornell, quite a pricey little place, and I always was finding ways to make ends meet. And one of the things I did in college was I began to edit essays that were done by, you know, wealthier students in other areas of, in other educational areas. So I did essays for everybody from engineers to pre-law students. And that's really where I really began to dawn on me that I liked helping people put their ideas and expertise in writing. I still didn't label it as ghostwriter yet, but I'm like, this is really an interesting way to write. You know, it's I'm learning so much because these people have the knowledge, but I'm putting it into a format, you know, that is more, you know, publishable and more readable and more, you know, it flows better. So I really started getting excited about that. And then I want to say it was after college I first discovered the book by Dr. Eva Shaw. She wrote the very first book I ever saw on ghostwriting. And I borrowed it from the library, and that's when I named it. I mean, it was reading her book is what I realized, this is what I like to do, and I began more to pursue, once in a while anyways, to pursue ghostwriting or make myself available if someone asked me.
Now, one of the things that I didn't have this on my list of questions to ask you, but one of the things that I always found as a challenge, and so I'm thinking that it might be worth asking here, would be the fact of that as a writer, I probably have my own voice, but when I'm writing for someone else, I always felt that I needed to adjust my voice so that it seemed to be coming from the person who's the alleged author of the publication. Especially you mentioned working with engineers and lawyers. My experience in the advertising agency working with engineers and lawyers is that they are not verbal, they're not people that are good with words. So, you know, they might be able to give me content, but it's not presented in a way that would be something that anyone would want to read. So for me, there was a challenge there of trying to take what they were saying, keep their voice, and yet make it in a way that people could understand what they were saying, you know, so they would believe it came from an engineer and not me, a writer, but yet still make it so the public, the audience that of the intended piece would understand what's being discussed. Was that something that, how did you learn to do that?
Again, interesting. I want to say most of my, and I actually have a couple of good stories about that too, but most of my experience with voice came in my working world when I started doing the articles for the various executives. They all had their own style. And they would come back, you know, and a ghostwriter, one of the things you have to have is absolutely a very thick skin when it comes to feedback, because you're there to please a customer. And chances are the first draft of whatever you do for them, they're going to have pencil it up, you know, and that sort of thing. But that's how you learn. And then eventually, you write for the same person, it starts to flow in their voice. So that's, I think, how I kind of really learned to do that. It was on a job, so it was kind of like a paid internship in ghostwriting.
Okay.
But now I had two more recent experiences. One was with, I do some writing and blogging for coaches of different types, success coaches, business coaches. I did a newsletter for a while for a relationship coach, and hers was interesting. What you do is you read what they've written before, or if they don't have a lot written, you also speak on the phone. You get an idea of voice just from talking to your client. And the relationship coach, she lived in Long Island, and she had a much more formal style than I tend to. Like, if I wrote an article on relationships, my turns of phrase were not anything that she felt comfortable with. And she heavily edited until I got her voice, until I was able to formalize it more. And that was a more difficult one to write for. I'm now writing for a well-known success coach. I'm doing her blog, and she had written a lot, and what it was she was just burned out writing every week on the same topics, and so she wanted to delegate out her blog so she could start working on some other projects that she wanted to work on, and her voice was so apparent in her articles that was easy for me to pick up, and I did speak with her on the phone too, but just reading her, I saw the cadence, I saw when she would like to, you know, she wasn't extremely formal. It was much more like my own writing style, actually. And so it didn't take me long to be able to write for her, and I enjoy that. So you do have to shift. And like I said, it's customer service. It's all about pleasing your client.
Okay. Now, you've mentioned a variety of different types of professionals that have hired you. You've talked about coaches, lawyers, and engineers. So I guess we should really discuss the bigger question of who hires ghostwriters.
You can almost guarantee that any book that you see from a professional athlete, a celebrity, a politician, even in most cases the CEOs and some of the gurus in certain professions, there's a good chance that they use the ghostwriter. And the reason why I say that is because their main professions keep them so busy. Writing a book is a project. I mean, and I'm sure that many of these people started many times and maybe even had tons of notes to work with. But the sitting down and writing a book, or in my coach's case, even writing in her blog once a week, it's very time consuming. And they want to be able to, you know, put their energies into other things, but they need the book out there, or they need the blog out there. So yeah, you could go almost in any avenue, and I would say that there is a need and a potential clients for ghostwriters. And then there's the whole avenue of people who've just had astounding lives, or a really horrendous story to tell, or a very difficult story to tell, that other people could identify and learn from. That's like the family that I'll be working with this winter, and what their issue, their focus is what it's like to have a mother who really struggled with mental illness, and how each of the family members were impacted, and how you know, the whole family relationships develop around this illness. And it's a fascinating story, and I know the family. So, you know, there's that sort of thing, too. I mean, it's just the variety out there is just endless.
Okay. Well, I know, speaking when you talked about politicians, I remember when Barack Obama was before he became president, when he was starting to try to get his name out there, when he was, you know, a young senator from Illinois and nobody knew who he was, but he had aspirations for the presidency. Some of the first things that I think he did to get his name known were to put out his first book. And I remember talking to one of my friends who's a writer about reading his book as he was on the presidential campaign trail. I was talking about reading that book, and she said, "You don't really think he wrote that himself, do you?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I kind of did."
And you can almost guarantee. And then it's like Hillary Clinton's It Takes a Village, that one. Mm-hmm. She she did not really publicize that that had been ghostwritten, but that that ended up, you know, surfacing eventually. I mean, you know, when they have very busy careers, you're going to, you're just, unless their main career involves writing as well, chances are they've hired help to get their work out.
Well, many times I've been to events, conferences, and I've heard people standing on the podium talking about how do you get your name to be known, you know, how to become known as an expert. And I've heard many times people tell me that, well, the thing that you need to do to become an expert is you need to write a book. And then the book will give you instant credibility, and then you become an instant expert. So I think what I'm hearing you say is that for anyone who's listening on this call who wants to build their name, build their credibility, and have been told that the way to do this is to become an author of a book, and they're sitting there going, how in the heck do I have time to do that with everything else that I'm doing? What you're saying is they should get themselves to a ghostwriter and work out an arrangement with a ghostwriter so that they can get this book out there without having to find the extra amazing number of hours that I think it must take to pull whatever your book is about together, especially if you're not an author.
That, indeed, is an option to consider, especially if you're not an author, if it's something that you find yourself procrastinating on. I mean, it's just not your strong suit, or you just really don't have the time or energy left at the end of your day to work on something that long.
Mm-hmm.
It's an option, yes.
Okay. Well, obviously, you've given us some hints that one of the reasons that you started the association was so that it would be a place where people would be able to go to find and hire a ghostwriter. So I'm going to suggest that, you know, one of the questions I wanted to ask you would be, how would I find and hire a ghostwriter? I'm thinking you're going to tell me working through your association would be an excellent way, but I'd like to hear your other thoughts on that, if there's any other ways that, I like this family that you're talking about, how did they connect up with you other than the fact that you said you already knew them?
Yes, well, and that's one thing from both a writer and a client perspective. Anyone who knows me, even slightly, knows that I write. I have made that known since high school. I love to write. I'm passionate about writing. And, you know, when I introduce myself to a group, I introduce myself, you know, as a writer of some sort, whether it's ghostwriting or article writing or business writing, that sort of thing. So if anybody's looking for a writer within my circle, my name would probably come to mind. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but which is why this family reached out to me. For someone looking for a ghostwriter, again, look within your own circle. If the writers that you know don't actually do ghostwriting, there may be a chance that they know someone that they would highly recommend. Writers online, the internet has been wonderful for writers, a wonderful place to network. And so a lot of us get to know each other, and we're willing to boost each other. We can only work on so much at a time. It's not like you can take on every client that comes your way. So there's a network out there that can help someone find the writer for them. And then I think the third way is to go to those job bidding sites. Again, you're going to want to look for people that have a track record. And on those job bidding sites like Elance and Guru, they do have a rating system. So if somebody bids on your project, you can see if they've gotten any past, you know, kudos and that sort of thing from other clients if you know, they'd be recommended. You know, that's probably not my favorite way, and I did pick up a job through Odesk, which is another type of job bidding site, but it's not my favorite type of way to either get or recommend to somebody to look for one. But if you really don't know anyone, that's a good place to start, you know, just to see what's out there and what people might be willing to do it.
Okay. Now, if you're going that route, you don't know where to start, and so you decide, I'm going to look for some of these sites, one of the things that I think would be a concern for me would be figuring out, since I don't know anything really other than what's on the website at Elance or these other Odesk, I think you called it, some of those gurus sites. Is it acceptable to, like, audition a number of people to be your ghostwriter, and how would you go about doing that?
Yes, what they do, what clients do in almost all cases for any type of writer is ask for samples.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be, they would ask for samples, they would ask, you know, what type of time frame, and of course they want to have some ballpark figure. And that's how you would audition. In fact, no matter which way you go about it, that's not a bad way. Those aren't bad questions to ask. Whether you go through Elance or whether you're just looking at, you Googled and you found some ghostwriters, you know, who live relatively close to you, you know, and that's what you want, to work with somebody close, you would want to know those three things. So you want the samples, you want the ballpark figure, and you want to know if they can do it in a time frame that you accept. Like this one, this book that I'm taking on, we know winter was a better time for me. Right now I'm in a number of things, which is why the family is waiting till this winter for us to commence to work. It's just a time when I'm going to be freeing up some and I can work on it more. So, and they're happy with that. I mean, they're fine with that. They're collecting their notes and stuff in the meantime. But I had another potential client. She wanted something done in a time frame. There was no way I could have done it and keep up my current project. So, and I was honest with her. I said I could have it done by, I would believe the earliest would have been such and such a date. And she was like, no, I really wanted it out there before the Christmas holidays, and I couldn't accommodate her. So, you know, and that's fine. You know, I'm not gonna overpromise or underpromise and not deliver. You know, and I think most ghostwriters would do that too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I would think that would be important, and that would be one of my biggest questions is if I was going to take on the mantle of ghostwriter and try to find projects as a ghostwriter, I think one of my biggest concerns as I was considering becoming a ghostwriter would be how do I manage the flow of work coming in? Is that something that you have some advice for people on?
That's probably, if there was any stress factor, and basically it's stress that you put on yourself, but if there's any stress factor involved in ghostwriting, to me, it's that. I really strive to be very prompt and meet whatever deadlines I set. And occasionally you might misjudge. I mean, life happens, and I mean, you have, you know, things that might just make it more difficult for you to get something in on time. I haven't had it happen, but I stress over it until I get, you know, the assignment done. But other than that, I just find ghostwriting to just be totally a fun, interesting career. It's my own, you know, my own integrity about meeting deadlines that makes it a little stressful sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that there's all types of projects that a ghostwriter could take on. We've talked about speech writing, we've talked about writing brochures, and then, of course, we've talked about the big projects like books. And one of the questions that I'm sure comes up when someone is talking to you about hiring you as a ghostwriter, one of the questions that you've alluded to is, you know, the question of how fast can this get done? Because I'm sure that a person who isn't experienced with the writing process might think, well, you know, I'd really like this done yesterday. So how do you recommend and advise people that they anticipate how much time something will take, and how much time goes into the pre-writing process before you actually collect all your information and your materials and then actually hunker down, so to speak, and get into the writing?
And that's the trick.
I think I've asked
trick.
A whole bunch of questions there.
Yes, you did. I'm going to back up just a little bit. In the blogging assignment, for example, you know, I have to have something to her at least once a week. Sometimes I get a couple of them done so I can give myself some breathing space in my assignment for her. And she'll throw me ideas and I throw her ideas, and they don't take that long to develop. I can generally do a blog post for her within a couple hours, maybe a half a day at the longest, and that's if I have to do any research on the topic. It really does depend on the topic. Like with this book that I'll be working on this winter, they're going to do, I've asked for them to spend this time writing their notes or doing recordings of their memories, you know, pulling together their thoughts on you know, their experiences growing up with mental illness in the family, and even why they want to do this project, which they have a very noble reason. I think they just want to help other people who have the same issue within their families. So I'll pull all their notes together, and depending on how much I have to work with, will definitely feed into how fast, how quickly I can write, you know, first draft. So there is that. If your client has good notes or has places where you can go for, you know, for reference, and they can give you good references, and, or if you can do it by interview over the phone, there's so many, you know, there's so many factors. The more research, obviously, you're going to want to put your completion time out there. You know, or if they don't have very many notes, if you're starting pretty much from scratch, just for your own sake and your own sanity, and in all fairness to your clients, you're going to want to factor all that into your time and put that time out there as far as first draft. You could even say or chunk it down. Say, well, I could have, you know, an X number of chapters done for you, you know, within the next few months, and the bulk of the book can be done by June of next year or something like that, because some of these things are that long. I mean, you're going to be working that long on a project.
Right. Okay, well, that, you know, alludes a little bit to when you're talking about it, that, the time frame and everything. It makes my brain go back to where you said that different ways of compensation could be either by project or per word. Now, if you ended up that you ended up saying, okay, we're going to produce a 500-word blog, you probably have a fairly good idea of how long it's going to take you to create a 500-word blog. But if you're doing a larger project like this book that you're talking about with a family where you have multiple people that you're working with and notes that are coming from different people, is that something where you more set a project price than a per-word price? Because it seems to me that in a case like that, you've got a lot of time that has to go into the research, that if you're just going by a per-word basis, I don't know how you calculate what each word is worth.
You're exactly right. Mostly small projects, or you might do a per word in your head to kind of set your range. Books, you know, book length manuscripts, well, ebooks can be shorter, of course, but print books can run from 50,000 words, you know, to 120,000 words, so depending on the topic and that sort of thing. So, yeah, you really will probably more set, I think, for fairness to the client and also for your own sanity, you would want a more set project ranges. And a new ghostwriter, you know, might take something on for the experience for lower ranges. More experienced ghostwriters know that they can command higher prices for their projects, just like in copywriting or in any other type of writing field.
Okay. Well, I know in copywriting, it seems to me that the fees that one pays a copywriter can range from as much as, like if they talk to me about an hourly rate, you know, they might start out telling me as low as, with an early beginning copywriter, I might hear something like, you know, $25 or $50 an hour. But then I think, you know, if you're going to be hiring one of the really successful, well-known and proven to be, if you have this copywriter write your copy, you are going to sell a lot of product. You know, they might be talking to you about hundreds or thousands of dollars per hour for their cost or the investment that you have in the project. So, I think maybe I bet our listeners would like to know a little bit more about when we talk about the per word or per project. How much might we actually be talking about in terms of projects? How much would a ghostwriter make?
With the short pieces, like a blog post or something like that, or an article, you know, for an internet article, like a search engine friendly article, you could probably get a ghostwriter easily for $25 to $50 for each article. Very, very. You can go way lower too. I mean, in some of these sites, some of the writers, the English language writers, are writing from countries where the cost of living is much lower, where they can, in fact, charge much less and still make a very good wage. And again, you just have to do your background check and make sure the writer has the level of quality that you're looking for. So if you have an American or a Canadian or a European writer, there's a chance that, you know, there's not a chance, they're going to charge more than someone, an English-speaking writer living in India or in another country where the cost of living is much lower. For books in the United States, we'll speak mostly about the United States, you might find, you know, we're talking for around 60,000 words in a book. A new writer might take it on for between $5,000 and $10,000. Experienced ghostwriters will charge anywhere from $15,000 to over $100,000 for a book, or even, or the sky can even be the limit. And you have to keep in mind what the writer might get from it. Like, if you're Hillary Clinton or Oprah Winfrey, chances are you're getting multi-million-dollar advance for your book. So you can afford $100,000 to hire your ghostwriter. If you're not expecting that great of an advance, or you haven't felt, you know, done the feeling out yet to know that you have a market for your book, your budget is either going to come out of your own budget, or you're going to budget based on what sort of advance you think you might get for that book. So you may have to do your homework first in order to afford a ghostwriter. But knowing that a project may take 6 months, that does, I mean, more than justify, you know, paying a writer, a good wage of $15,000 or $20,000, because that's half their year, spent maybe primarily on your project. But so it's sticker shock. And it was interesting because I did some research on outside of the United States, like Canada. Their writers union actually there has established a minimum fee of $25,000 for a ghostwritten book up to 300 pages. And in Germany, they said the going price for a confidential ghostwriter is $100 per page. So it's a well-paying field and a high sticker shock for people that might not expect that. One of the things I recommend for people that might not have that in that $20,000 in their budget for a ghostwriter is to maybe do it in pieces. Hire someone to write an article at a time, and then over time you're going to have enough material to pull that into a book.
Okay. Excellent. The same thing I suppose you could do with the blog concept of having someone do blog posts for you. You could eventually aggregate a bunch of blog posts and turn that into a book.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. And that would be the way I would recommend, you know, most of us normal people who aren't living the 6 or 7, you know, figure income would probably go about doing it if you needed to do it that way, or even pitch magazine articles and things like that. That could eventually get blown into a full-blown manuscript.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, let's see. You've talked about the one ghostwriting project that you have coming up this winter, and you've said that that is waiting for the winter because that was the best time for you. So it sounds like you must have some projects going on right now in addition to doing the blog post projects that you were talking about. So I was wondering if you have any ghostwriting projects right now that you could tell us about.
Sure. I do have the ongoing the blog that I'm doing. I'm also currently editing a workshop that a business coach is putting on. She hopes to do it this fall. And it has like a workbook that goes with teleclasses that she'll be doing. And so I'm editing the workbook for her. Those are my main ones because I'm concentrating on the association.
Mm-hmm.
I am working on doing a breaking into ghostwriting course for members of the association, and that's a big push right now for me that I'd like to be able to get done by this fall. I pick up small bread and butter jobs, and am working very much on the association.
Okay, well, with regard to the association, then maybe we should discuss more about it. What are your plans for that course? Sounds fascinating, but what other plans do you have in development?
I want to do for next year, early next year, a marketing course for ghostwriters, for the members of the Association for Experienced Ghostwriters. So how I have the IAPGW set up is I have two levels of membership, an associate level for people who are aspiring ghostwriters who want to be one but don't know how to go about it, and a professional membership for working ghostwriters, for established ghostwriters. And the reason for that is I wanted to be open to both levels coming in, but I wanted to provide a membership directory for the professionals so that if people are looking for a ghostwriter, they're getting a ghostwriter who's experienced. So by setting up the two membership levels, I have it's a lower level for the associates, and you get X number of benefits, and for the professionals, you get all those benefits plus listed in the membership directory, and I promote that heavily, particularly using Twitter to get the word out that the association member directory is there for them.
Okay. So, social media is definitely a technique that you would advocate then.
Oh boy, it's so funny because I'm a boomer and I got online just about when I launched Write Success in 2000. So I've been online for about 10 years, and Facebook I've been still so far using mostly for my own personal exchanges with people. Twitter, however, which I like everyone else, I didn't get it when I first logged on to it. I have found how tremendously effective over time it can be in driving traffic to your websites, to your products, to your teleclasses. And it has become a very favorite tool of mine as part of my own marketing strategy. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be doing a telesummit, and we don't have the details out yet, but this fall for freelancers with a few other women who own different associations in the freelance world. And my particular title in my particular talk is going to be how freelancers can use Twitter to attract clients, and I'm going to do a systematic way of using it to attract clients. It's tremendously effective. It's just the wildest thing.
Oh, that's fabulous.
I'm
sure that for those of us like myself who use Twitter and sometimes wonder how effective it is, that hearing you say that it's tremendously effective, it sounds like a lot of people like myself should get signed up for this program and learn how to make it be something that we know is working for us. I've made the call interactive now so that any of our guests that are listening to the call, we've got time here now for you to speak up and ask a question. So anybody who's listening who would like to ask Marianne a question, go ahead. Everybody wants to be shy?
This is always my favorite part. I've been on both sides of this, being a little nervous about asking the first question or and being on the call, being interviewed, waiting for the first person. But by all means, if you have anything at all, I'd be glad to answer. If I know, I'll answer
okay.
the question.
Well, while someone's building up their courage, let me ask, I've got a few more questions here that I can certainly ask. How do you decide if you're going to, you mentioned way early on about ghostwriters specialize. If ghostwriters do specialize, which I think you indicated that they do, how does that work and how do you decide what you might be going to specialize in?
That's actually going to be one of the parts of my course, but if I was to say anything at all about that, it would be, if you were thinking about being a ghostwriter, start with what you know and where you are. For example, just for today, I just today decided that I would like to pursue ghostwriting. I would look at my own experience as both a writer and in my career and look for potential topics and markets there. For example, I worked for many years within the health insurance industry. And so I have a lot of knowledge of the healthcare industry, of medical topics, of insurance mandates and things like that. I would definitely approach executives in that field. I'd approach hospital executives, things like that. I would market to them.
Okay, because they would say there's a certain lingo that you would know that they wouldn't have to train you on that already. You're familiar with it.
You're exactly right. And people do love that. They like that they don't have to explain every little thing to you. There will be some patients. And the other end of that are the people who are way technical. When I was in college, I did some the communication school at Cornell is in the agriculture school. And some of the articles I did for the alumni magazine when I was in college was on very technical topics that were way outside my communication realm. And interestingly enough, those people were – sometimes they would show impatience in the beginning because I obviously wasn't getting it, and I had to ask more and more questions. But a lot, most people will take some time and school you. But if you do have expertise in certain areas, it helps a lot to get your foot in the door, get you started as a ghostwriter, to just – go with those, and then you can always broaden later.
Okay, excellent. Now, I had been going to ask you one more question that had to do with if a person wanted to become a ghostwriter, how would you recommend marketing yourself as a ghost? Now, I think that you gave us one clue with the social media. You talked about Twitter, but where there would be beyond listing yourself with some of those sites that you talked about, and I assume becoming a member of your organization, but how else would a person market themselves if they want to become a ghost?
I would say a good place to start, and not even if you're not ready to become a member of the association, is I do a biweekly newsletter, and I handle a lot of the marketing aspects in my articles in that newsletter. And you can sign up for that. That's free, and it's at iapgw.org. And you can just put in your email address, and the newsletter is called Invisible Ink, clever, A, and it comes out every other week. Then what I would recommend doing, because I learn by through others. I actually subscribe to a number of e-zines that are done by copywriters and other freelancers and coaches. And I pick up marketing ideas from internet marketers. Oh, my goodness, yes. And I pick up ideas from all of them, and I've been incorporating them into my marketing strategy. I would encourage, no matter what field you're in, to get on a couple of those e-zines and, you know, let all that free knowledge come to you, because it's out there. And I've gotten that's where I got all my Twitter training. You know, I can't believe I said that without stuttering. Twitter training was from these e-zines and these articles and blogs. It's out there. And then again, I'm putting together the course to make it a step-by-step process, because sometimes information overload happens to us all, and you know, that can happen to anyone. And I still get questions, well, how do I even start? You know, so I think that by putting it in a step-by-step format, that can help people get over that hump.
Okay. Is there a value to attending seminars or events? Is that a good way to establish yourself as a ghostwriter, or is that really the best way to go for you?
I would say why not, and why not introduce yourself as a ghostwriter or as a writer even? It's always a fascinating way to – people are fascinated by writers. We still – even though now the world is so inundated through the internet with the written word, a lot of people still don't – they don't write. They don't like to write, and they are fascinated by people who say they make their living as writers. So whether you're part of a focus group, or you go to a seminar, or you're taking a course, whether it's online – or teleclass coaching group or whatever, always introducing yourself as a writer, people remember that and will come to you. It's amazing sometimes how people will approach you out of the blue and say, you know, I remember you said you were a writer, and can you have ever done this sort of thing, or do you know somebody who can, and that sort of thing, and that's how it starts.
Okay, excellent. Anybody else? I'm going to try being quiet here for a second and see if any of our quiet listeners would like to participate. Please do.
Hi, my name is Renee, and I'll ask a question for Marianne. Thanks for this call, because this is very informative for me. I've had a dream and a vision to start a program since 2000, and as a result of that program, I mean, doing all the research and trying to get things launched, nothing has been launched, but meeting different people at conferences and things like that said that the best thing to do is to write a book, and your book will be your credibility. From that book, you probably would have an easier time. So having said that, I've put what I consider a piece of writing together, 100 and something pages. I like to write. I don't know that I can take the time to write every single day, but when I do sit down, I can go on and on. So I have some work that I've put together. So what would need to happen if I was going to hire a ghostwriter to complete it, or to, I guess, redefine it, or?
This would probably, and that's a very great question, Renee. Thank you so much for asking it. This actually would definitely cost you less than actually having somebody write for you from scratch, because you've gotten some work written. The workbook I'm doing for that one business coach, I quoted her an editing price. It's like half of what my writing price is.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a deposit up front, and 50% up front and 50% when I complete the workbook type arrangement that she could live with. Depending if you have a budget for your marketing, you might want to look at someone editing your book. And again, you could use any of the avenues that I explained, and even hiring a ghostwriter. You could put your project up on Craigslist saying you're looking for an editor and this is how much your budget is, or you can go to Elance and that sort of thing and post your project there and do it that way. Or you could just, Google, whether you want to do this as an ebook or a print book and look for somebody who has experience in editing, in book editing.
Did you believe
that
I did hire? Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Would you believe that I did hire what I thought was an editor to edit this, and I wasn't pleased?
Oh, that's
but,
horrible.
Yeah.
And the thing
it,
is, that person should make good on, and that's a professional will make good for the client. And like with the person I'm editing for, I sent her the first couple of sessions from her workbook, and I asked her up front, is this what you're looking for? Do you want to see the track changes, or you know what I mean? Or do you want me to just give you a clean editing? I gave her all the choices up front so that she knew, she knew what I was doing, and I knew that I was heading in the right direction. And that's really unfortunate.
It's
tough. I probably know what you just gave me a great idea, Renee. I really think that I should do something on in depth on hiring writers and editors and questions that you should ask,
right,
and what you should look for as a client. I think that would be huge. And then thank you for the idea. It's just something else for me to do. but actually, that's a great question. It's like hiring anyone over. Even hiring like a plumber or something, you don't know until you have the work done. And it's unfortunate that you had that experience with your editor and that they did not take it back and do it to whatever specifications that you had.
Right. Because this was, and I don't want to take up too much time, but this was initially going to be a training manual. And, the more people I talked about said you could really turn it into a book and then start from there. So, because I'm really passionate about training. And so I wanted to get this out. I selected different topics that I thought I wanted to get out to women. And so it could turn into a book, or it could be just what I wanted it to be, a training manual. But
right,
it needs to be very definitive. I mean, for me to be happy with the work or the piece of work, because I'm really passionate about it being simplistic and those potential clients to understand and can really take what's in the book and go apply it to their lives.
I wanted to ask Renee if you could just, and this is what I love about ghostwriting too, because you meet people who are passionate about their topic. That's what I love. I live vicariously through all these people. And I'm going to ask you if people email me offline, and if I could just take a look, I could maybe give you some feedback. I won't charge you anything. I'll just take a look at what you've got and maybe give you some direction. I would tell you what I would quote for the project and maybe give you some more direction on what to do with it.
Okay.
My email address is Marianne, M-A-R-Y-A-N-N-E,
okay,
at IAPGW.org. That's the International Association of Professional Ghostwriters.org.
Okay. Now, did you want a certain piece of it?
Either way. I'll just eyeball it because I won't read the whole thing. Yes. Just a certain piece of it, and I'll just get a feel for the work. And then
okay.
Tell me, it's, like you said, a little over 100 pages.
Okay.
And
I'll
tell you
about,
what I...
Right now it's 117 pages.
Yeah. And I can give you some feedback on it.
Okay.
And some direction on what to do.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, that brings up one more question that I think is worth discussing, and that is the concept of direction. Quite often I've heard that simply writing a book isn't going to make us rich, you know, that unless we're the Hillary Clintons or the you know, big famous names of the world, that is going to get a huge advance for our book. There isn't going to be a lot of money to be generated from the actual purchasing, people buying the book from us. So the book needs to be part of a program generally of other things that we build upon our expertise. The book becomes almost like a calling card, I've been told. So Marianne, in a case like that, would you suggest that as a ghostwriter you might work with a client to tell them, okay, here we could start with a book, but let's build this into a whole program for you? Or is that really not a direction that you feel is part of ghostwriting?
Actually, I'm not even going to say most ghostwriters. My personal experience is, since I've been online for a decade, since I'm kind of tapped into a number of resources, I could speak to strategy, or at least point people to other people who have programs or have websites that would be of interest on marketing strategy and book promotion and all those things. Other ghostwriters might not. It is not technically ghostwriting. It really more falls into book coaching and stuff like that. But I find that part of it, you know, knowing before you even start a project like that, knowing who you want to reach is important. And that would be the first, that would be like with a client, that's one of my first questions. What's your intention? Because then I could then help them maybe find the best vehicle, whether it is an ebook or whether they might want to think about doing a book proposal first before they start putting all their eggs into an actual book, and see if they get a publisher who's interested and who bites. And then, you know, so that, in fact, that would be definitely part of my, like when I was saying to Renee, I would like to see what she has, and I could give her some ideas
sure.
what to do with it.
Well,
absolutely.
That was one of the things I was thinking with what Renee was saying. I was thinking, well, maybe what Renee has is a book and a workbook, and maybe it's also got a coaching program that goes
yep.
with it.
It could have an audio CD. It could, you know, there's all these things that could come from, yes, the written word. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think all the above could come out of this work
okay.
that I've put together. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, we're closing in on being out of time, but let me ask, anyone else have any questions? We don't want to leave you unsatisfied here. If there's anybody else listening who has a question, please go ahead and ask. Okay, well, then I guess I think that, Marianne, we've filled them up with lots of information here today, and so I'm going to say it's been great talking to you. Thank you for being my guest and for the wonderful discussion on ghostwriting and the opportunities that are available for people to work with one or to become one. And thank everyone who's been on the call joining us. Appreciate you. I hope that you are able to use this information to your benefit. And I'm going to say goodbye for now. Thank
and
you.
I just want to throw in there, if you want to follow me on Twitter and stay
I
in touch with me.
I should have said anything else.
No, that's okay. It's at Write Success, WriteSuccess, and that's like my site, WriteSuccess.com, which is my site for writers. So I invite you to just keep in touch with what I'm up to, because we've got some other teleclasses coming up this fall. So,
okay, Marianne, so that's to get you on Twitter, it would be Twitter you at WriteSuccess.com, WriteSuccess.com.
No, oh, no, it's Twitter. It's just at Write Success. You go
without
to Twitter and you, yep, not without the .com, right.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anne, very, very much. Nope, that's all I wanted to throw in there as far as a pitch, right?
Oh, good.
I really, really appreciate you inviting me to speak, and thank you very much. This has been a lot of fun.
I've been fascinated with what I found out about ghostwriting. I certainly didn't know anything about ghostwriting before we started, so you've really got me educated, and I hope our listeners have benefited as much as I have. Thank you very much, Marianne.
Thanks again, Anne.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much.